This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch us on Twitch. Check out the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. Let's talk some football here, Abdallah. Matt Nagy joined Waddle and Sylvie earlier today. A lot of good information that came from it. We'll hear that interview at 8:35 this evening. But, you know, the one thing that I look at with Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears, clearly the decision at quarterback is something that they're not going to tell us up front. Heading into the season, who the guy's going to be until they name a starter. So, like, all of the speculation, I feel like we just have to kind of wait. It's obvious to me how this will kind of play out, but they won't say it publicly until we get closer to the season.
I think that, you know, the closer we get to a season, yes, obviously this will play out, but the more time that we are doing stuff on Zoom, the more time that guys are all over the place and not in the facility practicing or having training camp, or if they cut down the preseason games to two games or one game, it's more and more likely that Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the quarterback. Matt Nagy said today, he was asked the question, how is the competition going since you guys can't be around each other? He goes, what do you mean? It's not going. We can't do a quarterback competition on Zoom. We can't, you know, I can't see these guys with the first team if there's no first team. You know, there's no... So you can't start any of this stuff, any of this competition. Now they're in quarterback meetings, they're in offensive meetings, they're doing all this kind of stuff. But it's all on Zoom, it's all in different time zones, it's all at different times of the day, it's all that kind of stuff. And then it's guys coming together and showing that they worked out. And it's they can go through plays and they can dissect plays and you can go through the playbook. But you can't see how each quarterback does with the scheme until they're together. And I feel like that... If we don't have a training camp or a very short training camp, if there is only one or two preseason games, that whenever they do start the regular season, Trubisky is going to be the quarterback until he loses the job. Because if there's no time for Nick Foles to get reps, how is he going to win the job? If there's no job to win, how is he going to win it?
So how long does Trubisky have to be decent to keep the job?
Well, I think he has to be decent. He has to not be bad.
Week one. If he doesn't throw three picks, he's still the guy in week two.
If they're winning games, they're winning. If they're winning games, they're like, not going to make a change.
Like, is there a stat you put on it? Is it a points per game? Like, if the team's still scoring 17 points per game, can you keep Trubisky in that spot?
Are they winning?
I don't think it matters.
I think it does. If Trubisky's
I don't think it matters.
There, if Trubisky's going in and he beats the Lions week one, whenever that is, and it's only if it's 17-14, Trubisky keeps the job until you have a reason to remove him.
But then aren't we just doing what we did before, and that led us to 8-8. This team has to be better. Like, you can't now, if the Bears score 23-24 points per game and Trubisky's the starter from week one, I agree with this premise. Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, okay, let him start. Let him stay out there. You don't pull him until he starts playing poorly. But if you roll out and you score three, you have three field goals, a touchdown, you know, you're not even getting past the 20-point threshold.
You know what they're going to say, Chris? You know what they're going to say? That we had a shortened, he didn't have a lot of reps in training camp. He's not going to.
So did everyone else.
I understand that, but the Bears live in a vacuum. They live in a world by themselves where if they're winning games, like, they're not going to upset the apple cart.
You keep winning games because of the defense. Trubisky's starting, but he's not playing well. How long do you let that go into the season before you say, we have to do something?
Until you lose because of him.
So you're saying you think that this could bleed all the way through the season if he just plays average?
If the Bears are winning games and not losing because of Trubisky, then yes, they will do that.
So my point is, if the offense is not improved, you can't do that, though. If the offense is improved under this concept, I'm with you. It's cool. Do it. Go for it. Improve, buddy. Let's see it. No, seriously. I'm serious. If they're scoring 21 points per game, which is not good enough still, but by Bears standards and Trubisky standards, and the fact that we've never seen a quarterback in our lives in this city and an offense in our lives in this city to have success for multiple seasons in a row, I think that would be good enough. I feel like that would suffice. I would prefer 25. Could we get 25 points? 26? Now we're cooking with gas, right? We move it towards 30. Now we're talking this team could make a Super Bowl run. But how likely is it for Mitchell Trubisky to jump the points per game for the offense? It seems as if you watch the games, that he is the major reason to why the offense is being held behind. So the 17 points per game, I get it. It's a stat. That is one number that points to the entire offense. But I would also suggest that the quarterback on most teams own that number. You look at what other teams around the NFL do. Who had the most points per game last season? The Baltimore Ravens. Who was the MVP last season? Lamar Jackson from the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, but they're never going to. But the Bears.
My point is, he gets the credit for the success.
Like that. I get that.
Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs put up points. The 49ers put up points. Garoppolo,
yes.
Mahomes,
yes.
They get the credit for it. So Trubisky should wear the 17 points per game. If he rolls up with 22 points per game this season, then I agree with you. You let him continue to develop. But if he goes out there and it's the Bears winning 14-13, they win 16-9 in a defensive struggle because the pandemic ended and no one had training camp and somehow the Bears pulled one out late. You can't do that again.
I'm just telling you, I agree with you. I don't want them to do it, but I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen.
Don't call me a hater about that either.
I'm not
I feel like that was
a
very
no.
Straightforward response to this whole situation.
I am agreeing with you. Like you said, I'm with you. Be you. I'm with you. I get it. I'm saying the same thing you're saying. But what I'm saying is if that happens, we have different outcomes. You're saying if they only score 17 points a game and they're winning, that Nagy's going to be like, I need to score more points at some point, so I need Foles.
Yes.
And I'm telling you that if they're scoring 17 points and winning games, they're going to be like, we're winning games, man. It doesn't really matter. We're not going to upset stuff. We've got a good thing going right now.
Well,
we're
winning games. Doesn't that go back to the whole theory that you've used this entire offseason about the friction between the GM and the head coach? Because I agree that there could be people in the building saying 17 points per game with Mitchell Trubisky, but winning games is good enough. But I could also see people in an office who have the title of head coach saying 17 points per game with Mitchell Trubisky at quarterback, but winning games is not good enough because we need to be better.
And I agree with the people that say that 17 points are not enough and we need to be better. But I don't know if the Bears have it in them to switch the quarterbacks out like that. You know, when Matt Nagy was on with Waddle and Sylvie, he got pretty defensive about Trubisky. And not like agitated or like that, but he was saying, look, this kid is he's been through it. He knows. He knows the conversation. He knows what people are saying about him. He knows all that stuff. And he wants to be the best. And we brought in Nick Foles to be the best quarterback and to put them in a situation to win games. And that's what they're trying to do. But so if they're winning, they're not going to make a change.
You know what's so sad about this whole conversation is I was saying, 21 points, 22 points? I was saying,
that's what they did last year.
Come on, last year, 17.
Okay.
If the Bears score 23 points per game this upcoming season, last year that ranked 15th in the league. You know what I'm saying? So, we're asking him to improve by a heck of a lot. And that's still not necessarily good enough. Let's go to John Schaumburg. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, John?
I agree with you guys that if this gets elongated out, Mitch has to start, right? And, yeah, winning is winning, but I get if you're winning 16-9, 14-9, 14-13, you know, there's a difference between, really winning and then being, for instance, the Packers last year. They were the weakest 13-3 or whatever team I had ever seen because once they stepped on the field with San Fran, they got wiped twice. So you don't want to be that team that's good enough just to squeak by, but once you face the creme de la creme of your conference or your division, you get wiped off the face of the earth. It doesn't matter. So, I mean, it would suck if Mitch ended up starting, but I think it could happen, unfortunately.
Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. You know, and that's where I think Bears fans are in a strange spot, right? If there was no pandemic, would anyone be suggesting that Trubisky would be the starter?
No. If we were going to, if they
a
were
full off season program, training camp.
Look, I said it when they traded for him. They just made Nick Foles the starting quarterback, because in a normal world with normal training camp and normal preseason games, there is no way that Trubisky wins a matchup against Nick Foles. There's just no way. Foles is better. Foles is a better quarterback, and we'll having worked with every single offensive mind on the Bears coaching staff, he is better set up. He knows basic quarterback things like throw the ball out of bounds instead of stepping out of bounds. You know, if the defense is coming off sides, take a shot downfield.
Basic quarterback things.
Yeah. The first, like page one, quarterback 101.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers earlier today? I think this is a fascinating conversation, because clearly Aaron Rodgers is not ready to be done playing. He wants to continue winning football games, adding to his legacy, and I think he thinks he has a lot more to add to the National Football League. Here's Aaron Rodgers earlier today on a teleconference talking about why he needed to clarify that he wasn't thrilled with the Jordan Love pick from the Packers in this year's draft.
I think it's more, you know, it was more the surprise of the pick based on my own feelings of wanting to play into my 40s, and then really the realization that it does change the controllables a little bit, because as much as, you know, I feel confident in my abilities and what I can accomplish and what we can accomplish, there are some new factors that are out of my control. And so my, you know, sincere desire to start and finish with the same organization, just as it has with many other players over the years, you know, may not be a reality at this point. And as much as I understand the organization's future outlook and wanting to make sure they're thinking about the team now and down the line, and I respect that. You know, at the same time, I still believe in myself and I have a strong desire to play into my 40s. And I'm just not sure how that all works together at this point.
You know, he makes a good point. I'm not sure how that works together either, because one would kind of look at this and say, it seems like the Packers want to move off him. I don't think there's a guarantee that Jordan Love's going to be great. In the way quarterbacks are playing now, we see Tom Brady playing into his 40s. Other quarterbacks, Philip Rivers, playing late into his career. I feel like the option is there for a quarterback to be durable, to be good late once he gets 40-plus. I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to have at least more than a handful of good seasons in the future. The problem is, if you want to be that guy, you could point to the stats, and Aaron Rodgers over the course of the last 2 years has not been the old Aaron Rodgers.
And there's always the chance that, you know, he's had injuries in the past. There is a chance that he gets injured again and Jordan Love has to come in for a few games the way Jimmy Garoppolo did. And he comes in and shines, and then Aaron Rodgers comes back. He's healthy. He's performing well again, well into his into his 40s, late 30s. And they decide to trade Jordan Love like the Patriots did Jimmy Garoppolo. So he could still finish his career with the Packers if he wants to. There's still an out for Jordan Love to be, you know, traded at some point, you know, in the next couple of years. It could happen. Someone offers him a decent amount. You know, maybe the Bears offer him a bevy of picks. Ryan Pace just says, take the whole draft. Take the whole draft.
For an old Aaron Rodgers?
No, for Jordan Love.
For Jordan Love.
Take the whole draft.
What are you doing to me
take
here?
Take the whole draft.
You trade up for Trubisky. Now you're trading up for, you're trading picks for Jordan Love?
Take the whole draft.
I mean, you want to talk about wild rumors. You might as well trade all the picks for Russell Wilson. At least that would make sense.
Okay.
Bulls backstory coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Leckie and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
With you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Matt Nagy, head coach of the Chicago Bears, was on with Waddle and Sylvie earlier today. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Tom Waddle. And Sylvie started the conversation by asking the head coach of the Bears whether or not the Bears will be playing football come September.
I hope so. It's hard for me to say, Sylvie, just because, they're right now, they're all, working through that, talking through that. And we're just on our end. I mean, you'd think that maybe there's a lot less going on for me, but there's actually a little bit more going on with just communication of the meetings and scheduled timings and all that. So what we're doing is we're prepping for exactly what they've given us, which is the four preseason games and obviously training camp, and then we'll adjust from there. So I it's hard to say either way. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew or I thought something. I'm hoping that is the case, but if it's not the case, we'll be prepared. We'll be ready, and I think all that comes from a lot of communication between our coaches and players.
Matt, back to the quarantine thing. You kind of referenced it, but has there been anything that's been almost advantageous to being at home and doing the things you need to do instead of going into the office? Has something surprised you where you've gotten more done because of this in a way?
Yeah, so probably the biggest thing that relates to the players is that we're able to we are interacting right now because you can't be on the Zoom deal and be talking about X's and O's for every minute that they give you. You just can't. I was talking to a professional in the psychology world the other day in regards to like the Zoom calls and what's real. And the number that was given to me is 12 minutes is really the longest that you're supposed to have these guys on an install for say learning a play. Well, shoot, we could talk about one play for 1 hour. So let alone that's talking about one position, what he does in a play for 12 minutes. So juggling that part, what that's forced us to do is get creative. And we've created these coffee shop rooms where they're breakout rooms. So we'll have one big main room where there's all of us. And then all of a sudden when my team meeting's done, boom, we break out to 15 people per room, 10 people per room. We give them a question or a topic. You guys would be amazed at the interaction. Half of it's not even football. It's about life. You learn something about somebody that you didn't know, whether it's some family member, whether it's how they got to where they got to, what's important to them, their pet peeves, whatever. And then we have some fun with it too. It's brought us closer and me closer to every college free agent and drafted kid in this rookie minicamp that we've done so far than I ever have in the NFL. And so that part, we're going to use that with the vets as they continue to come back next week and interact with the whole team. And we're just trying to stay as creative and interactive as possible.
Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You know this is the big topic. I know you just talked to the guys, the press, on the teleconference. So I want to ask you specifically, Coach, when did Mitch go from being the guy to competing to be the guy?
Yeah, so the way we look at this thing is every year is different, right? And there's opportunities that present itself, and for us, we're always at personnel between Ryan and his staff, coaches. After the season, you're always having exit meetings. You're talking about everything, and the one thing that I've always learned from Coach Reed that I believe in wholeheartedly is you always start with yourself. So that's what I did. So when the season ended, I after exit meetings, I started with myself, and I really started reflecting as to where did I fail in regards to that, for us to go 8-8 and not make the playoffs. How could I have been better? And so I did that, and I spent days on that. And so then it just transitions into coaches and exit meetings with them and the players and then Ryan and myself, and you just start talking about everything. And so now what you need to do is you just need to decide – okay, at every position, where are we at? And if this happened or that happened, will we do it, will we not? And across the board. And so I can't specifically tell you there's a day, here or there, but for us, it just we feel like what this is going to do, Sylvie, is this is going to make – it's going to help bring the best out of Mitch. It's going to help bring the best out of Nick, right? What we got to do is we got to make sure that we make it as fair as possible, as honest and open, right, as healthy as possible. Because if we do that and we bring those guys in, which we've done, and we let them compete when we get on that football field, it will make us a better football team. I fully believe that. Because Mitch, okay, with what he's done, you know, in the last 3 years, and I know, you know, he gets a lot of heat for where he's at, and you could go a lot of different ways on that. But for Mitch, I'm really proud of the way that he's handled himself here since the end of the season. And you go and you trade for somebody, right? And then you have a fifth-year option that you don't do. And so that's challenging. But you know what? We've had some really, really good conversations. And they were also quick, because right now all he's focused on doing is moving forward. That's the past. He's had an unbelievable mentality, and he's going to need that to be the greatest quarterback he can be. Nick, the same thing. He comes in. What a crazy career he's had, right? What a crazy year in 2019 he just had. So we have an opportunity to get him. We get him. And now here's two good people that are competing for one spot. What it's not going to be is unhealthy or toxic, okay, because of who the people are. What it is going to be is really damn competitive. And what it is going to be is something that drives our players on offense, okay, and defense and special teams, and they see, wow, if they're competing at the quarterback position, I better get my tail ready to compete at my position. And you're seeing that other places as well. So competition is healthy. You sit here and you watch The Last Dance with Michael Jordan,
right,
and you see the way he practices, you see the way he talks to teammates, you see the way he competes his tail off. You know, how does that not give you goosebumps if you're a player playing a sport right now? And that's what we're going to do in when we get back on that football field.
So Matt, like, candidly, I've got to be honest with you while I have you on the line. Like, I got frustrated last year watching the lack of commitment to the run. It's something that we talked about with our listeners, and I've got you on the phone. So as you did this self-scout and you start with yourself, did you get pissed at yourself at all for giving up on the run?
So that first of all, the thing that I really appreciate that you just started that off with is that you were honest and you're able to say that. You know, I appreciate that. I don't think there's enough of that goes on in this world. So thank you for being honest. Number two is I did start there, because, you know, you have to be able to run the football in this league to win. You have to. But you also need to throw the football. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance there. And every game is different. There's some games where the matchup just isn't good. And as much as we want to look at the fantasy stats and say, my guy needs 30 carries, that's just not going to happen because they got a better defensive line, or they have, you know, nine guys in the box. That's how that goes. And so that's the beauty of coaching. That's the beauty of the scheming part. Well, we need to be better there. I need to be better there. The other part of it too is just for us to say, step back and say, okay, if we're going to run the ball, how are we going to do it? And that's what I think has been fun for us here in the off season, is trying to understand, is it by personnel, right? Is it, and then if it is, what is it and who is it? And then number two is, okay, if that's obviously something that we've made changes on this off season, now, is it by scheme? Maybe, maybe not. Okay. And so now you put that together, and now all of a sudden, it's a lot easier to call run plays when they're productive. And so you have to stay balanced. But running the ball, I totally understand what you're saying and totally understand your frustration. And trust me, I know, you know, being a quarterback guy and wanting to throw the ball and all that, you get labeled with that. But I'm all about running it, and I'm looking forward to seeing us get better in that area this year.
Matt, since we're being honest here, I'm one of those meatheads that thought Trubisky should have played more in the preseason. I know you mentioned on the conference call to reporters that he and Foles will, obviously, because there's a competition. But any regrets on that last year? Is that pure meathead talk?
No, you're right. You're right. And I think, again, you know, as we talk here, when that's one of the things that I look back at from last year that I'm you know, not happy about that I made a decision to do in the preseason, you know, is that. And I feel like, you know why there's, number one, I think it's good for them to have it. But number two, it sets a mentality. And so that's not going to happen this year. We're going to be a physically tough team. We are going to be a mentally tough team. They understand that. They're going to be tired of hearing about that. They're going to be tired of hearing about attacking and aggressive. They're going to be tired of hearing about details. But yes, you're right. I look back and I say, if I could change something in 2019, it would be playing our starters more, 100%.
Wow. Before we let you go, Coach, we always appreciate your time. Roquan Smith posted on his page about being out, I think it was in Destin, Florida, and with what's going on. Did you talk to him about that and smart choices, especially with what's going on?
Yeah, we did. And, you know, it's something that he understands and knows that, you know, again, we all have to be smart. This is a crazy deal right now that everyone's going through, and there's different levels to it. Some people are reached by it, right? And they have family members that have died from it. And there's others that have, you know, there's zero connectivity to somebody that has had it. So what we all need to understand is that this thing is real, and that we need to do everything we can to make sure that we listen to what everybody is saying. And so we talked to him and he understands that. And we, you know, we fixed that part of it. And hopefully he learned from that.
Coach, all the best to you and your family. Thanks for joining us today, and we can't wait till football.
Sounds good, guys. Great talking to y'all. Be good, okay?
That's Matt Nagy on with Waddle and Sylvie earlier today on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black with Adam Abdallah. I have a story for you coming up next, Adam. On my walk to work this week, I saw something disturbing. I think the animals are starting to take over.
Oh, okay.
Tell you about that next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN_Chicago.
Thank you to Sean Davis for producing tonight's show. Thank you for all of you in the Twitch feed watching the program tonight on ESPN 1000 Chicago. And thank you for listening to the show. We'll be back on Sunday morning from 8 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000. You can also download our podcast, the Black and Abdallah section on the ESPN Chicago app. Check out the Bulls Backstory podcast. We have a whole bunch of them up there now.
Oh, yeah.
So check them out. You can binge listen to all of them right there on the ESPN Chicago app. And we will have one last Bulls backstory.
A last dance, if you will.
On Sunday, before the last dance.
I wonder what it'll be.
We will take a look at Jordan's last game in a Bulls uniform with his shot over Russell. It's going to be fantastic.
I love that game.
I mean, the final 90 seconds from Jordan is just beautiful. It's incredible. He controls everything.
Save it for Sunday.
Okay. So we'll do that for the backstory on Sunday morning.
Tell me about animals.
Black and Abdallah, 8 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000. Okay. So I've been walking to work ever since the start of the pandemic. I stopped taking the CTA and I walk to work. It takes me about 28 minutes to walk from my apartment to the station.
It's a very
I do it every day.
Very
both ways.
Specific
I know
specific number.
I know how long it takes. How long of a podcast I can listen to before I get to work.
Okay.
And I've noticed something over the course of the last week. And in fact, at the end of last week, I noticed it happened once. I thought to myself, well, that's strange. And then I saw it again this week. There's a spot in Grant Park where I walk through where there's a collection of pigeons that gather together. Right. And I think there's a guy that feeds them. So he puts some bread out, and then they all come and they eat. Last week, I saw a dead pigeon and a crow perched on top of the dead pigeon eating the pigeon. The crow was perched on the pigeon, chewing and ripping off pieces of meat and eating the pigeon. I thought to myself, wow, that's strange. I know times are tough, but I didn't know that crows eat pigeons. Okay, so then we get to this week. On Wednesday, I'm walking home, and I see another pigeon on the ground dead and a crow perched on the pigeon ripping out pieces of flesh and meat and feathers of the pigeon. Did you know that crows eat pigeons?
The short answer is not usually. Now, let's be clear. Crows will absolutely kill and eat eggs, nestling, and even adult birds if they can get their hands on one.
Full adult birds.
It's important to keep in mind, however, that crows are one of many, many animals that are eating the young and adults of other bird species. So they like to more of it's like, I'm sure something else might be killing said pigeon. But the crows, they can kill other birds. I feel like you shouldn't be killing other birds.
But not only killing, but enjoying a meal perched on top of the dead carcass. Have you ever seen that before? I've seen it twice in the last week.
I think we live in difficult times, and
you're telling me. I mean,
we're all in this together.
I didn't know I had to watch out for the crows.
I feel like all the birds. Haven't the birds dealt enough with the fear?
Sorry, that was the birds from Alfred Hitchcock in 1963.
Haven't the birds dealt with enough? They already had their own flu, and now they have to deal with carnivore pigeons?
Are you serious? This is how we're ending pigeons? The show with a bad pun?
Cannibal pigeons?
Talk to you on Sunday.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.